What a joy it is to be with you this morning. If you have a copy of God's Word, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We'll be looking at verses 16 through 18 this morning as we near the end of our study in 1 Thessalonians. Once we complete our study in 1 Thessalonians, we'll move on to 2 Thessalonians. And Lord's will, once we complete 2 Thessalonians, we're going to step out on faith and look at the Old Testament book of Lamentations. So this morning, we'll be looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. And I'll start reading. I'll start reading in verse number 12, just to set the context. But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone, see that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul the Lord. To have this letter read to all the brethren, the grace. And I started my reading here this morning back in verse number 12. It's because every verb, there are imperative verbs starting at verse number 13 all the way to the end. There are imperative verbs that are in this section of scripture. It is filled with imperative verbs. Why is that important? Each one of these verbs are plural, which means that everything that I just read, that is a command we're to do as a congregation. Not just the leaders, but everyone who individually is called by Christ into the body of Christ. All of these verbs, it is amazing that Paul just gives this just line by line. He's giving these commands to these believers as he closed this letter out. Remember that the Apostle Paul is not with these believers. And he is setting them up in Christ to stand firm, to walk in a way that is worthy of the God that calls them. And that takes all of us. That takes each and every one of us who calls on Christ as Lord. So even in our passage specifically, we see three verbs: rejoice, pray, give thanks. Once again, these are plural. These are commands for us as believers. It is commands for every group of people that organize together and assemble together to worship and praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do I say that this is for those who assemble? Look at your Bibles real quick. Look down at verse number 26. Number 26, greet, but matter of fact, go to verse 25. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a kiss. I adjure you by the Lord to have this letter, notice, read to all the brethren. Who are all the brethren? All the brethren that gather together in Thessalonica because they are in Christ. And so I make this point because what we're gonna read here today, there's tension with this. There's a sense of tension because we still have remaining sin in us that causes us to isolate ourselves from one another. That there's a sense of tension in this passage as we read these three verses because it requires that we all grow spiritually. There's a sense of tension in what we're gonna read because of our sin, because we are required to grow spiritually. The challenge for us is to not have our own agendas. Our small, you know, these little small agendas, these small things that this is what I do on a daily basis. And if anything disturbs what I do, then I won't have joy. That's the tension that these verses, when I studied them, that's the tension that was brought to bear upon my heart. And so look with me at verse number 16. We'll see here God's will for the church. And we know that this is God's will because in verse 18, Paul writes, "And everything give thanks." And he says, "For this, what is this?" This is everything that he had just said in verses 16 through 18. "For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." So God's will for us as a church is first to rejoice always. A mark of a mature church is that they are a rejoicing church. They are a rejoicing church. Rejoice here is not happiness. Joy is not happiness. Happiness is temporary. Happiness is based upon your external circumstances that change. When things are good, I'm happy. When things are bad, I'm sad. But joy is different. Joy that leads to rejoicing is different. Joy is not based on external circumstances. Listen, joy is absolute. It is absolute. And joy is internal. Why do I say joy is absolute? It's absolute because of its source. It's absolute because of who we are in Christ. Remember that Paul began this letter by reminding his readers of their relationship to God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Look back at chapter 1. Notice what Paul writes here. Paul introduces himself, Silvanus, and Timothy. And he is writing to the church of the Thessalonians. Notice what he says. "In God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace." So what is the source of the joy that God commands us, and God is commanding these Thessalonian believers to have? What is the source? It is God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Joy is the outworking. It's the outworking of our union with God and the Lord Jesus Christ. We see evidence of this union. In other words, It is evidence of the fact that we're saved. And we see evidence of these Thessalonian believers being saved. Look back at chapter 1 again. And notice what Paul does in verse number 2. Notice what he does. He says, we give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers. Why is it that Paul is thanking God? Because it is God who brought about what he is going to list as far as the testimony of the Thessalonian believers. Look at verse number 3. So Paul is thanking God for the Thessalonians. Why? He says, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the presence of our God and Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved of God, his choice of you, God chose them. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit with full conviction, just as you know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. Not only had they exhibited work of faith, labor of love, steadfastness, and hope, but Paul says in verse number 6, he says, you also became imitators of us. And notice what he says, and of the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation with joy and of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith toward God has gone forth, so that we have no need to say anything. For they themselves report about us what kind of reception we had with you and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead. That is Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath to come. What is the source of our joy? What is the source of these believers' joy? It is God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember when we started this letter, one of the exercises I gave you were to go through and to circle every mention of God in this letter. And every mention of Jesus Christ in this letter, it is God who is the source of their joy. And because of this, we are commanded to rejoice. We are commanded to rejoice because God never changes. God does not change. God never slumbers nor sleeps. God's work will be accomplished in your life. It doesn't matter what your circumstances are. It doesn't matter what your situation is. If you are saved, that means that you're in God the Father. You are in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is nothing that shall separate you from his love. And therefore, you are to rejoice, beloved. You are to be rejoiced, not because of your external circumstances, but because you are in relationship with the God of heaven. You are in relationship with the King of glory. Hallelujah. And not only that, Paul, he parts something in verse number 6 of chapter 1, that is also true of us all. Look at verse number 6, back in chapter 1. Notice what Paul says. He says, you also became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit. Set this up in your minds. These believers are going through much tribulation. Paul is there preaching the gospel. And as Paul preaches the gospel, there is much opposition. That there is much affliction that those who desire to do harm to the Apostle Paul, those who desire to quiet the Apostle Paul, they are there and they are oppressing, they are afflicting the Apostle Paul and those who are there to hear the gospel. And Paul says, yet in spite of all of that, in spite of all of that, he said they received the word. And not only did they receive the word, he said they received the word with joy. It doesn't matter what our circumstances are. These believers was in the midst of a hardship with the Apostle Paul, and Paul is preaching, and they heard the gospel, and they received the gospel, and they didn't mind all that was going on externally because they received the word of God, and the Holy Spirit was there at the same time to give them joy. Give them joy. So it makes sense. It makes sense that these believers, because of the joy of their salvation, at the beginning when their salvation started, there was joy. Joy unceasing. It makes sense that they continue to cultivate that same joy in the congregation. It's the Holy Spirit and the Word of God in our union with the Lord Jesus Christ and God our Father that is the source of our joy. And notice what Paul said. He says, therefore, that he says, rejoice always. Rejoice always. Paul himself, he did this. Look at chapter 3 of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 3, verse 9. And remember, everywhere Paul is, he's gone to Philippi. He's come to Thessalonica, and there are Jews that are following him that are making his life hard. That there are Jews that are following him, trying to prevent him from preaching the gospel. And notice what he says here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 9. He says, For what thanks can we render to God for you in return for all the joy which with which we rejoice before our God on your account? Circumstances did not bother Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy. They rejoiced. And we know that even in Philippians, the Apostle Paul is in prison. And he says what? Rejoice always. He had to say it twice. And I say again, rejoice, because people are probably like, what? Wait a minute, Paul, you are in prison. And Paul says, rejoice always. I say again, rejoice. Beloved, we can rejoice. And these believers here, even though the Apostle Paul has gone on and he's not with them to instruct them, to care for them, and they're still suffering, things aren't going their way, and yet they had the capacity to have unceasing joy. They had the capacity to rejoice always. And Paul had this in mind when he wrote Romans 8. Look with me. Turn to Romans 8. I got some scriptures for you this morning. So Romans chapter 8. Verse number 38. When we are convinced that in our relationship with God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, these things, we will be convinced of these things that Paul lists here. Romans 8, verse number 38. The Apostle Paul writes, for I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able, doesn't have the ability, will be able to separate us from the love of God, where? Which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. There is nothing that that happened in our past. There is nothing that will take place in our present. There is nothing that will come our way in the future. There is no being, there is no thing, there is no circumstance that will separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And because of that reality, we can focus on God's agenda. What is God's agenda? God's agenda, back in Romans chapter 8, verse number 28, says, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son." That's God's agenda for you and me, beloved. God's agenda is to conform us to the image of his son. And as we are conformed to the image of his son, we will rejoice always. We will pray always. We will give thanks always. That's what God is after. He is after that in our lives. And that takes a little bit of molding. It takes a little bit of shaping. It takes God taking off some things in our lives as a group of believers so that we can come together and rejoice together. We can always rejoice when we look to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Hebrews 12 and 2. Our joy is founded in the fact that our Lord is Lord that saved us and redeemed us. Our joy is not found in our circumstances. So, beloved, I tell you this morning, you can be in a constant state of joy. It may seem like it's impossible, but set your focus upon Christ. Don't look to your circumstances. Don't look to other people. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ and remember what he has done, the good things that he has done for you. And this may mean that you have to learn how to control your feelings, the way you feel. Like the psalmist did in Psalm 42 and 11, David says, "Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God." Sometimes you have to get a little bit of schizophrenic and speak to yourself what God has said in his word. Psalm 16 verses 8 through 9 says, "I have set the Lord continually before me." How do you do that? You set him before you by constantly reminding yourself of God's word, by constantly feeding yourself, feeding your heart, feeding your mind with the word of God. David says, "I have set the Lord continually before me because he is at my right hand." And no, he says, "I will not be shaken." Is that your declaration, beloved? He said, because I have set him before me, regardless of what comes about, I will not be shaken. He says in verse 9, "Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will dwell securely." It is when we remember what God has done for us in Christ. Turn to Psalm 32. Psalm 32. That was read for you. Psalm 32. Psalm 32, listen to David. And this is read earlier. Just listen again. He says, how blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Do you believe that? He says, how blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. He says, when I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away as the fever heat of summer. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Selah. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you in a time when you may be found. Look down at verse number 11. He closes and says, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous ones. And no, he said, shout, shout for joy, all you who are upright in heart. It's okay to shout. It's okay to shout when you know the Lord. Turn to Ephesians. I'm going to feed you here a little bit. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. I want to feed your soul here this morning. Ephesians chapter 1. When you began to look at your circumstances, when you began to look at your situation, the difficulties in your life, take these verses and put them on your mirror. Put them in your car. Put them where you go to work. Put them in your purse. Put them in your pocket. Keep them in your hand. Whatever you need to do, have these verses available to you. Notice what the Apostle Paul writes. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. Beloved, when you're down, when you're struggling, when you're being beat up by life, go to the Word of God. Go to the Word of God and remind yourself, and that's okay. Remind yourself afresh. That's why God has given us his word written down on the pages of Scripture, because we have a tendency to forget. And because we have a tendency to forget, we will become discouraged and disappointed. God understands. God knows. God gave us his word written down. Tab it. Tab your Bible. Highlight it. Do whatever you have to do. Whenever you're beginning to forget, just open it up and read it. It's there for you. It's there for you, beloved. It's there. And if you can't read it, get you one of those. Nowadays, you can play the Bible back. You can play. You can have the Bible read to you off the internet. Apps on your phone. You know, they got these high speed apps now. You can just have the Bible. Do that. Have it played back when you go to bed at night. Listen to the promises, not just the promises, but the character and the nature of the God you serve. And you will find that you have the ability to rejoice when you take your mind off of all the other things around you. When you stop allowing your mind to become so busy with TV and Twitter and Facebook and all of those different things. When you put those things aside, when you turn those things off and saturate your mind, like David said, meditate upon the word of God day and night. And we're going to end here. Turn to Psalm 1. And here this is the familiar psalm that contrasts the life of the righteous and the wicked. Listen to the psalm. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. Notice what he says in verse 2. But his delight. Beloved, you have to delight in the word of God. You have to delight in the word of God more than you delight in anything else in life. Matter of fact, Peter said it this way. Then desire the sincere milk of you have to see the word of God as being so important to you, just like a baby, a newborn baby cannot go without having milk. What happens when you don't give a baby milk? They're going to start crying. They're going to get agitated. They're going to get grumpy. Right? And why? Because God has, in a sense, in his providence and his divine wisdom, given us an example for us to see what it looks like for us as the children of God to desire his word. We should be just like a little baby when everybody that have kids that have a little baby, you know that they on the clock. They on the clock. You know, man, it's been about an hour. Let me go start warming the bottles up. Because you know that baby is going to demand to be fed. And we should be the same way. The psalmist says here, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. And when he does this, because his delight is in the law of God, because he meditates in the law day and night. Notice what verse 3 says. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water. David is writing from a region that is a desert. It's a desert region. And as he writes this psalm, he understands the importance of water in that region. He understands the necessity of water and for plants to have water. He said that he uses it as an illustration, just like a tree in a desert region where everything else may be dying because there is no water, but a tree that is firmly, he says, firmly planted by streams of water. And some would say that this tree is a tree that was transplanted to a place to where there were streams of water. And this tree yields its fruit in its season. And it's regardless of how hot it is in that region, no matter how sweltering the heat might be, that tree, the leaf on that tree does not wither. And it does, and in whatever it does, he prospers. Do you want to be like that tree? I'm off my notes. Do you want to be like that tree? Do you want to obey Paul's command to rejoice always? Like I said, there's tension in there because the world will say, well, you can be happy if you have everything going right. You see it in commercials. You see it on TV. Your friends tell you. They make it look like they're happy. But our joy is only found in God the Father and Lord Jesus Christ as revealed in the Word of God. And as we feed on God's Word and remind ourselves of God and His character and what He has done for us in Jesus Christ, we can rejoice always. We can continually rejoice. Amen. Let us pray. Father, I know whenever we hear a command like rejoice always, particularly when we begin to think about some times in our lives, perhaps when we were standing at the graveside of a loved one who had passed away, perhaps as we were terminated from a job, perhaps when in our past, perhaps we've experienced those who, one who was supposed to love us, instead loved someone else. Perhaps someone, when someone has lost a child, this command that you have given to us, it still applies. Because if we lose everything, if we lose our family, if we lose our job, if we lose our health, if we lose everything that you have provided for us, all the way down to the clothes on our back, even in the midst of loss, we can rejoice. We have the ability to rejoice. And we have the ability to rejoice because of your greatness, because of your faithfulness, because of your goodness, because of who you are, we can be steadfast and constant, even when we're hurting, even when there's tears in our eyes, even when our body may be hurting, even when our minds may not operate the way that you want it, that we would want it, we can still rejoice because we have you. We have your word. We have the Holy Spirit who indwells us. So, Father, as we go forward from this place, your people, as your people, and as we all, Father, we all have different, we are all in different seasons of life. Some experiencing more difficulties and hardships than others. But Father, enable us to help one another rejoice. And we'll see next week that takes praying together. That takes for us coming together and giving you thanks together. And so, Father, I ask that you will help us to do this as your children for the sake of Christ. It's in his name I pray. Amen.